of the loop. So in the readings that we've just had there, Tourist, the weekend's readings, and significant events are there recorded for his job. And I'd like us to think about the incidents around the raising of Lazarus, such a key moment in this, at this time in the record, and a moment that that drove the Jewish leaders to determine really to kill Jesus. Before the verses that we've read, chapter 10, we find that Jesus is leaving Jerusalem to go beyond Jordan. I'll just read these to you from chapter 10, verse 24. And all our references for today will be in the readings that we've had and a few from chapter 10. So chapter 10 and verse 24 tells us this, that so the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me. But you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And I and the Father are one." And it says, the Jews picked up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, "I've shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me?" And the Jews answered him, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." And again they sought to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. See, they didn't understand, or more like they didn't want to understand. They were focused on themselves, these Jewish leaders. Their question they put to Jesus was not that they might believe and understand, but that they might find a reason to apply their own justice. They'd made their own minds up. These signs and miracles that Jesus did, that John recounts of them. And yet they wanted a sign. They wanted proof. They just didn't believe the proof that they were being given. So Jesus leaves their midst and travels to where John the Baptist had preached and baptized. And his disciples went with him. And here he found a willing response to preaching in that area where John had prepared the way. In chapter 10 and verse 41 we're told, "And many came to Jesus, and they said, 'John did no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true.' And many believed him then there." In such contrast then to the Jewish leaders, here we have many that witnessed the signs that Jesus did and believed that he was the Christ. But now John takes us to the events in Bethany at the beginning of chapter 11. At that family home of Martha, Mary and Lazarus. A family that we know from the record Jesus was very close to and loved them dearly. And the account is brief and very much to the point. Lazarus is very ill. We know from the record that this was a roaring time, for this illness was an end of life situation. And I'm very much sure that Martha and Mary would have been praying to our Heavenly Father and laying their fears and worries out in prayer. Their hope obviously would be that Lazarus would recover, as we all would do if we found ourselves in that situation with a family member gravely ill. But I believe, as we often do in our prayers, they said, "If it be your will, Heavenly Father." And we have to take into the context of this event that the sisters, being full of the knowledge of the miracles and healing that Jesus performed, and that it caused many people to recover from life-threatening illnesses or long-term illnesses. And John records for us one example of these signs in the Gospel record that I'd like to consider. And this is a sign that we, as John puts it, might believe on Jesus. So in John chapter 4, we have an incident of a nobleman whose son was sick. So John chapter 4 and verse 46. And we find here that Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and he implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So in a way, this sign, this incident with this nobleman, is not dissimilar to the situation that Mary and Martha find themselves in. And here this nobleman is desperate for his, and earnest, and asks Jesus to come to his son and heal him. And then verse 50 of this chapter 4, it says, and Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. And so the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went away. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. And it goes on to tell us that the nobleman discovers that it was at that exact moment that Jesus said, your son lives, that he recovers. And John then goes on to inform us that his father and his household, and that his father's household, believe on Jesus. And the observation here is that Jesus didn't have to go and see his son, despite his father pleading that Jesus should do this. But his father believed the words that Jesus said and set off home. And I think that shows great strength of character and faith in this man. For he had no evidence that it was true. He had to have faith. He had to there turn round at that point and set off home. He couldn't pick a phone, he couldn't do an instant message. There was no way he could check on what happened. He had to believe. I often wonder what this man's thoughts were on his journey home. How often did doubts arise as he travelled? And I suspect he still worried as he went his way. And that he had good moments on that journey where his belief was strong, but also I'm sure there were points where his confidence was a little low. And I think, if I'm honest, our spiritual journey is similar way, but in terms of we have difficult points in our lives where we feel our faith is challenged and weaker, and other times we feel uplifted and stronger in faith. And when this man nears home, he's met by his servant, and we can imagine the joy that he received when he saw his son, and his faith would be so high and so elevated at that point. So what about Martha and Mary's faith and their belief in Jesus? Well, we said they've heard many accounts of miracles and healing that Jesus performed, and probably witnessed many directly themselves. And so we might think that they would send a message to Jesus to plead with him to save Lazarus' life. But actually, when we look at the record, they didn't actually say that. They placed no demands or requests on Jesus. They did not try to put an emotional blackmail on Jesus because Lazarus was his close friend. The sisters simply sent a message saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. And I like to think that isn't an extract of a longer message, but it is a complete sense of the message that they sent to Jesus to inform him of the situation and left that news with Jesus. And it was sufficient that Jesus knew their need. I think this is a lesson for us in our prayers. Our Heavenly Father knows our needs before we ask him. We cannot place any demands on our Heavenly Father, but we are exhorted to open our hearts to him in prayer, to seek strength in prayer, and let our Heavenly Father respond to those prayers according to his will and purpose. And Martha and Mary demonstrate their faith in putting their worries and difficulties before our Heavenly Father and before Christ, putting their trust in God. So let's look at the verse then, where Jesus receives this news, and where the sisters sent saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. So John chapter 11, which we read, and verse 4, it says, When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I'm now visualizing this messenger traveling to Jesus with the message from the sisters, and then with that news, the sickness is not unto death, set off back. And when he approaches the Bethany home, I'm guessing he can sense that not all is well. And in fact, he finds that Lazarus is dead. We're told that when he arrives, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And Jesus delayed 2 days before setting off back. Suggests it might have been maybe a 2-day journey to get to Bethany. And this conflict then, between the message from Jesus on the face of it, and the fact that Lazarus died, must have been a test of faith. The messenger might have been considering or wondered if he really understood the message correctly he was given. Martha and Mary also had a test of faith, but they didn't reconcile this situation with a message from Jesus. But what I think is very interesting in this discourse is when Jesus does return in John 11 verse 20, we read this: "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' And Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.'" And this is such a clear demonstration of faith from Martha. Firstly, she recognised that Jesus had the power to heal, and would have been able to heal Lazarus if Jesus had been with them. And this was also a confirmation in the miracles that Jesus performed, that all the power that he had to perform came from our Heavenly Father. And not only that, she's demonstrated a belief in the resurrection to eternal life. She'd understood with clarity what many hadn't, and now she expressed her faith that she believed that Lazarus would be raised to eternal life in the coming kingdom. She understood the hope that we shared with me today about, and had the confidence of belief that we are exhorted to develop. It wasn't an arrogance or a confidence in Martha's ability that we would be saved, but a confidence in our Heavenly Father's ability by his grace to raise those that believe to eternal life. And maybe this about the resurrection was how she understood the message that came back, that sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, and that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, Jesus goes on to say to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" Martha said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." And this statement of faith is in such complete contrast to the Jewish leaders, who had approached Jesus that he must show them clearly that he was Christ. Yet Martha demonstrated faith because she understood these signs, and she listened to the hearing of the words of Jesus, and there'd been more than enough that she might believe. And the Jewish leaders were about to get a sign of Lazarus, a sign that demonstrated our Heavenly Father's ability to raise again. And yet it drove them completely down another path, path of destruction that they were after. At the end, very end of John's Gospel, he writes these words: "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That was exactly what Martha was saying. Here are the signs that John puts to us was the turning water into wine, the healing of the nobleman's son that we just referred to, the healing of a paralyzed man at the pool of Bethsaida on the Sabbath, the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus provided for the people for 5 loaves and 2 fishes. You know, Jesus walking on the water, healing the blind man who was blind from birth again on the Sabbath, healing of Lazarus, as we know, the hope of life after death for all those who are called his friends. And finally, the resurrection of Jesus himself. It's a sign to us. And we should believe these signs and what is written in Scripture, this inspired word that's written down by the authors of the book. God's inspired word. And so we are gathered here today on Zoom and in the room because we believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God, and that he gave his life that we have the hope of eternal life. And that our Heavenly Father raised him on the third day to eternal life. We should develop that confidence that we shall be raised by our Heavenly Father's grace and mercy if we believe on him and follow his commandments to the best of our ability. And if we think of these events from the perspective of the disciples, let us go back then in our thoughts to where Jesus was beyond Jordan. And in chapter 11, verse 5, we have these words. Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea. See, the sign of Lazarus was such a sign for his disciples about what was going to happen to Jesus, about that he would die and be raised again, and that Heavenly Father had the power to raise. He says to them, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him. And the disciples respond, verse 12, they said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death, and they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep. And then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And then verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. And we find in the record there's initial concern about the recent events, the Jewish leaders trying to stone Jesus. And Thomas pipes up that they should go back with Jesus to Judea to die alongside him. And Jesus and the disciples arrived near Bethany. As we know, Martha came out to meet Jesus. John also carefully points out to us that there were many mourners there, many significant members of the Jews that were there to comfort Martha and Mary with the loss of their brother. And the significance of this is that there would be many independent witnesses to this miracle. It could not be denied by the Jewish leaders, and the news of it would spread. And when Martha at the tomb points out that he'd been dead for 4 days, Jesus says, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, the witnesses, it says, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And John tells us that many of the Jewish witnesses there found this evidence compelling and without refute and believed on Jesus. But others then informed the chief priests and the Pharisees of this raising of the event, the raising of Lazarus. And they again, their reaction is to plot to kill Jesus. And as the Passover is near, they give a command then that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it to them so that they might seize Jesus. In contrast to Martha and Mary and those that witnessed and believed, they had no intention of considering what actually happened. And so, in verse 12 that we read, we find Jesus, having previously left Bethany due to mounted threat on his life after the raising of Lazarus, but now, as we're approaching the Passover, he turns to Bethany. And John mentions that so many of the Jews knew that Jesus was there, and that also Lazarus was there, and they came to see Lazarus. That proof of the resurrection, a proof that Lazarus was raised to life. Again, the chief priests have a different perspective, and not only do they want to kill Jesus, but they now want to kill Lazarus, because many of the Jews because they saw Lazarus, so they wanted to remove him. They were willing to do whatever it took to keep their position and remove any opposition to them. Such a contrast of opinions and approaches. So John tells us that on that next day, there are many of the Jews arriving into Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. Word travelled that Jesus and Lazarus were travelling to Jerusalem with others that many had witnessed the raising of Lazarus. So the other travellers wanted to see them, to join them on that journey. And the nearer to Jerusalem, the larger the crowd gathered. And Jesus with red robe rides on the colt, and they waved palm branches and laid them in his path. And there was a sense of jubilation. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Yes, that's what they shouted and cried. And we're presented in John chapter 12 with a scene of contrasts, misunderstanding and expectations. We have the contrast between those who had seen the signs and Jesus performed and believed, and those that had seen the signs and would not believe. We have the contrasts of people who were coming along to Jerusalem thinking Jesus was going to become their king there and take over and rule for them. And then we have the contrast of Jesus, who knew exactly what lay ahead of him, of the events that were going to come at that Passover. And we see this much of this in verse 27. John 12. That misunderstanding. Because Jesus taught them of the events to come, how he would be put to death, and how that people didn't comprehend, because it didn't meet their expectations. So verse 27 of John 12, Jesus says, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spoke to them. And Jesus answered and said, "The voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." And this he said, signifying by what death he would die. And the response from many of the people was that they couldn't really understand why Jesus would say this, or the implications of what he said. Verse 34, the people answered him, "We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which was spoken, "Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 43 says, "For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God." And that last point is such a telling statement regarding the fears and peer pressure of those rulers who believed. They believed the signs, and yet but effectively kept it to themselves for fear of isolation and being cast out of the synagogue. They were worried about what they would lose, their position, their relationship. relationship with the people, the recognition by the men and women that they'd received previously, and all of that rather than what they really would gain in Christ. And it is a challenging conflict that many people are concerned with. And it's an interesting comparison, that thought, with the world in which we live, which although is tolerant to people being religious, is not constructive towards faith in the outlook of our society. We do not really live in a religious-based society anymore. We have laws of the government that prevent discrimination against us being religious, along with other religions, along with other discriminations. And we are grateful that this allows us to be able to follow our faith with freedom in the laws of this country. But peer pressure and society norms means that expressing our faith can lead us to be considered a fringe of normal society opinions. Yet, we are very blessed to be able to meet together, as others do today, in ecclesias around the country and around the world, not for the praises of men and women, but for our faith in Christ and our Heavenly Father. We are united together in our fellowship in His actions. We are united in our faith. We meet to give praise and glory to God. We meet to remember the signs recorded in Scripture, to consider the raising of Lazarus as we've done today, and more importantly, to consider the resurrection of Christ, not because we were there to witness them, as we read of the people in John, but because we believe that these events took place, and we believe that it is our Heavenly Father's good pleasure to grant us a place in the kingdom by His grace and mercy. In verse 44 of chapter 12, it says, "And Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me, sees him who sent me." Yes, we see through Jesus. We see Jesus through the pages of Scripture. And he is brought to life for us by the reading that we do and the consideration of his word. And in seeing the character of Christ, we see the character of our Heavenly Father. Verse 47. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Yes, if we think on Lazarus, Jesus was close to his family, Martha, Mary and Lazarus. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus and he raised him to life, that the disciples might believe the events that were going to come shortly ahead of them at that point, that God might be glorified. In a few days in our reading this week, we'll come to John 15 and we read this: "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, abide in his love." It goes on, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend." Says, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Yes, we are told that we are considered to be friends of Christ, brethren and sisters of Christ, if we follow and do the commandments that Christ has given us, the commandments from our Heavenly Father. We know we so often fail to follow the example of Christ in our lives, yet we know that our Heavenly Father is willing to consider as though our efforts, as though they were righteous acts. He willing to forgive us when we fail. He's able to grant us a place in the kingdom. We all know we cannot earn a place in the kingdom. We cannot do it by our actions. Yet equally, we cannot sit back and do whatever we want, for then we will fail. But we are exhorted to try to follow Christ, to put the effort in, to make ourselves more Christ-like in our thoughts and our actions, doing our best each day. So we're about to take these emblems of bread and wine. These simple symbols remind us what Christ went through, that he gave his life as a willing sacrifice, that he was raised on the third day, that he's by being in Christ, we have the hope and vision of the kingdom. So we pray that by taking these simple things, that we might reflect on the signs that are recorded for us, as John has put for us in his gospel we read today, that we might reflect upon the wonders of life, the wonders of creation, the signs of a Heavenly Father's hand at work, that we might be strengthened and encouraged in our faithful journey, continuing and developing.